You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get up.
Beware, I live. IGN GameScoop.
All right, that's the end of that joke.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. With me this week is Greg Miller.
Hey!
Craig Harris is
Hello,
here.
How's it going?
And Arthur Geese is here.
Hello.
Arthur Geese of the Medal of Honor Geese's.
Take a little flack from that,
aren't
you?
New Hampshire Geese's.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Exactly. It's Arthur's turn to take flack for a review. We all take turns. The IGN editors take turns. I took it for Castlevania.
I don't know what my flack would be.
Kirby.
Mm.
No. It's coming right now.
Well, you had the temerity to give Metroid a 8.5.
That's true. I was on the high side.
Temerity is a word that has never been spoken on GameScoop.
That's true.
Greg took a little flack for Mafia, I believe. Mafia 2.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
You recently or ever? What? I mean, Lair was my biggest flack parade
ever. Okay. Yeah. I'm just thinking of recent things.
Oh, New Super Mario Brothers. Wii.
Yeah.
I did not give it a 9.
Yeah.
I think you got flack for Lair for deliberately trolling.
I did not deliberately troll.
I'm sorry. Just to refresh everyone's memory, what did you give Lair?
I gave it a 4.9.
And what was the studio that made
Factor
that game?
5. Factor 5. Yeah, okay. That was the best NeoGAF thread that ever, because as soon as the score went up, then it was immediately they had the image. Factor 4.9.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's perfect.
Brilliant, brilliant bitter children on the NeoGAF, but I love them. Love them.
This isn't the first time I've gotten flack on an IGN interview.
No.
I mean, I gave Lost Planet a 6.
It will not be the last.
Probably not. People keep releasing bad games.
They keep getting greenlit and published.
Medal of Honor, you described it as one of the biggest disappointments of the year.
Yes, I did.
So, fill us in.
That is correct. That is 100% correct.
What went wrong?
Well, let's see. I think asking EALA that question would be more appropriate, considering they
can we get them on the line here?
Yeah, that'd be good. So they could explain to me how they took 3 years to make a game that takes 4 hours to play and is filled with bugs.
Has it been 3 years since Airborne?
Yes.
I think so, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did notice in your review you said that there were two different engines. One was handled by DICE, and one was handled by.
Yes.
Was it at their hard divide? Like, was it you
they
could
are
tell
literally
different
games? Yeah. We got review.
You're
code.
Talking about the single and multiplayer.
Yes, we got review code on a debug before we got retails. And the debug software for an Xbox 360 will just show like executables on discs.
Right.
And there were two different executables for multiplayer and single player.
You have a weird syllable for executables. I say executables.
Okay. I could have just installed multiplayer and just played that.
Uh-huh.
So they are completely different games, and it doesn't feel like, ironically enough, it doesn't feel like either of them were in the oven long enough.
No. Of course, the PS3 version is the best version because it comes with Frontline.
Single
which is
player,
a good game.
Frontline did not age gracefully.
Everybody loves Frontline.
What is Frontline?
Medal of Honor Frontline.
Medal of Honor.
It just comes with that?
Yeah. Was that the first PS2 Medal of Honor?
Was it?
I don't know. I played it, remember.
But I just don't remember where it fell anymore in the
Funny thing about that is that you have to install the entire 4 GB game on your PS3, mm-hmm. and you have to have the disk in to play it.
That makes sense. Digital right management,
yeah,
right there.
That makes sense.
We don't want to be ripping
managing your rights to play that. The single player for PS3 actually is fine compared to the 360 version. They're more or less the same. But multiplayer, there's some minor performance issues on PS3 that aren't in 360.
I know.
Now there's been controversy about Medal of Honor even before your review. Put EA out of business.
Stock price is plummeting.
I mean, that actually happened. That was crazy. But the Taliban was in the Taliban is in the game. And they were called the Taliban in the multiplayer, so players were able to play as the Taliban and kill U.S. soldiers.
Yes.
A lot of people didn't think that was cool. So at the last minute, EA changed the name of the Taliban to Opposing Forces.
Uh-huh.
And Greg is wearing a t-shirt right now.
Two game scoops again.
Yeah.
I talked about how stupid this was. Everybody still knew they were the Taliban. So then the jokes of the robot hiding in the sand coming up to fight people.
Now you're wearing a shirt about a Half-Life expansion.
Yeah, sure. So a listener out there, he took it to heart and made the t-shirt I think I proposed on the game.
Yeah, exactly.
Scoop.
Verbatim.
Yeah, so the front of the shirt says Opposing Force. And then on the back it says, I tricked you! Exclamation, I'm the Taliban. And it has a GameScoop logo.
It has like pictures of Taliban
soldiers. People. I can only imagine what I get when I walk down the street.
I know, I think it's ballsy of you to wear that out and about. A shirt that says, I'm the Taliban.
This is San Francisco. I really don't think it's a problem.
I made it. It's probably first and last debut. Or first and last time being worn too, because this delightful listener was comedic enough to think that I wear a large. Mm. So I'm sure as soon as I wash this, it will shrink to nightshirt size.
Don't dry it.
Nightshirt.
Why would you do that for the night?
But here's the good thing about this shirt, Damon, is that he is selling them to fans. If you want to buy your own Opposing Force shirt, usually we wouldn't pimp someone just using our jokes and selling them. However, if for every purchase that is made, I think he's selling them for $20 because that's how much Cafe Press
is kind of expensive.
If you get it, he will donate to Extra Life because we're doing Extra Life this weekend for the Children's Miracle Network. You can go to tinyurl.com/scoopshirt, which will take you to the blog post about the shirt, and in my comments is the information about buying it. I will go in and update that if I remember. Of course, I said I was going to remember to bring down the actual details on where to go for the shirt, and I forgot to do that, so chances are.
You could try looking it up on the spiffy new mobile IGN site on your phone.
Does that get to our MyIGNs, though?
I don't know.
It can.
No problem. Does it show comments on there?
No, it doesn't show comments.
Listeners, if you haven't checked it out yet, the new IGN mobile site is really cool.
Yeah, and
really
they're constantly evolving that thing, too.
It is.
It's looking really good.
You don't, if you read reviews on that, you don't have to see comments.
Yeah.
I might just do that from now on.
You mentioned Extra Life. We might as well remind everybody what's going on with that tomorrow.
It's a 24 tomorrow at 8 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Which is Saturday.
Oh, sorry, yeah. We record this on Friday. Saturday, October 16th.
This isn't live? I thought we were live. So tomorrow at 8 a.m., Saturday at 8 a.m., we start playing video games for 24 hours straight. Everyone in this room is doing it.
I'm kicking it off with GoldenEye.
You are? I'm going to play with you, I think.
At 8 in the morning?
Yeah, 8 in the morning. Hopefully we'll get people to play, because this is only multiplayer. And I'm really hoping people are going
to play. We have 15 editors in the office playing. Yeah. More than 75 IGN fans have joined Team IGN to support the Children's Miracle Network. They are playing across the nation.
I guarantee you the first 20 minutes is everyone going, I need to fix my controls. I don't want to use Wii Pointer. I want to use
Have you unlocked the helicopter pilot? Can I be the helicopter pilot? That has always been my character.
Well, it's a multiplayer-only build, and so everything that's in multiplayer is unlocked, so we can play paintball mode and stuff like that.
You're going to have some fun with that.
Yeah.
I'm excited. This is going to be a fun time. Arthur, you ready?
I'm going to play Fallout New Vegas for a big part of it,
you
I think.
Son of a gun. I'm in a dilemma, and you guys can help me, even though you'll just tell me to do what I want, which is good advice. I want to platinum mini.
Like
I want to platinum mini games. I want to get mini platinum trophies. Many games. I just need one trophy or two, so it's just a couple hours of work I need to put into them or whatever. However, I just got SmackDown, so I just want to play SmackDown. There may be more Fallout coming in this week. Maybe I just want to play Fallout. What do I do, Damon?
Exactly what you
this
said.
This is
do
a
it,
dilemma.
Do
what
do
I do? Yeah. Oh my God, I'm
Use
having
your
so
toes.
Much fun. We're gonna have so much fun. Remember, you can watch the live stream on IGN.com. You can jump right to the page if you go to tinyurl.com/extraIGN. You can also donate to our pages there. Arthur and I, we creamed our goal. So
actually, Jesus.
Yeah, I set my bar extremely low because I didn't think anyone was going to donate. But I think I crossed 500.
Yeah.
$500.
I actually
yesterday.
Bumped mine up thinking that no one would do it. And I just I crossed the threshold for that. Look, so that was pretty cool.
Our fans are awesome. Huh?
Yep.
They sure
are. To them. So watch it. We'll have exclusive games. Or not exclusive, but you know, unreleased games on there.
Yeah. So I'm going to be playing two games that I'm reviewing next week. DJ Hero 2 and Super Meat Boy.
Super Meat Boy is good.
It is good. And but don't take our word for it. We're going to give away a copy of Super Meat Boy to Super Meat Boy to one of the listeners.
Is it out yet?
This
No, it's out next week.
It's not out
oh
yet.
Oh my gosh.
So, GameScoop listeners are going to have an early copy of Super Meat
You're
Boy.
You're giving away your exclusive review right now.
That already happened, so.
Oh, sorry.
I can show you an awesome Super Meat Boy commercial when we're done.
What's that?
I know some people that made a Super Meat Boy commercial for him, and it's awesome.
I'm not going to give away. I'm going to give away this code in segments, as was suggested by Craig Harris. Xbox Live codes are so long. I can't read all 25 digits all at once. Greg
we got
Miller.
Things to do, Damon. I got a show to listen to.
Yeah. So this is a code for Super Meat Boy. It comes out next Wednesday, but listen to this podcast, and you'll get an early copy of it. It starts with VVWHC, and more of that will come later on.
Awesome. Yeah, there we go.
Getting back to Medal of Honor, listener Jared Owen.
Oh, there's a photo in the stack, David. Got a photo. Oh, the mail's going to be good.
We have to wait till the very end.
Oh,
it is
goodness.
Really good.
Oh, and I, you spoiled it. I saw it. It was a shark. There's a shark in there.
Well, you don't know the whole thing. You don't know. That's only half the story.
Oh, my gosh. The teaser.
Jared Owen writes in. He says, I've been listening to the podcast since early episodes. I'm a huge fan. Read the review for Medal of Honor, and although disappointed because I was looking forward to this game, I respect the opinion of Arthur, and I have no doubt he reviewed it fairly. However, the fanatics out there who assume a conspiracy point out that Modern Warfare 2 got a 9.5. Arthur stated on his Twitter that he didn't review Modern Warfare 2, but if he had, it would more likely have been in the 8.0 range. With that being said, the question I want to pose to GameScoop is, when a game comes out that is going to be compared heavily to one particular title in the same genre, shouldn't the same reviewer tackle both titles? The fact that Modern Warfare 2 was given a 9.5 and Medal of Honor was given a 6 is perfectly acceptable, but also seems unfairly skewed because the two games were looked at by different reviewers. Jared, the gentleman who reviewed Modern Warfare 2 no longer works for IGN. It would be impossible.
Who would it be?
Bozon.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I tried.
He was huge
to get him to
go,
come out of his...
In Call of Duty, so yeah.
And he was also wrong about Modern Warfare 2, so that's fine. I mean, I also compared it to Bad Company 2, which I did review earlier this year, and I gave that a 9.5.
Yeah.
Because Bad Company 2 is
Remember,
better
a review
in
is
every way.
A one person's opinion
exactly.
on this thing.
Yeah.
So it's like,
I mean,
you know,
sure.
Bozon's opinion for Call of Duty was 9.5. Your review of, you know, Medal of Honor was 6. It's,
right.
But, you know, it just mm-hmm. that's
and
what
one
it
of
is.
Us was right and the other was wrong.
God, I love Arthur. So this is I just want to take a moment. I'm very happy with this podcast crew. This is a good episode. We got a good extra life. Coffee's helping.
Where's mine?
Hey, listeners, TMY9P.
Man, you just banged that out.
Yeah. Okay, so reviews for Medal of Honor did start coming in on Tuesday. And it was amazing. EA's shares fell 6% that day, like almost instantly.
Yes, they did.
On these, on these bad reviews.
I haven't paid much attention because, you know, I just go to IGN for all my information. I only want it from one source.
Mm-hmm.
What were the other reviews like for Modern Warfare?
I think its Metacritic average right now is 75 on 360.
Metacritic? I'm sorry. Can you give me the game stats average?
Yeah,
I would
stats.
Like the
yeah.
game stats.
Game stats. Yeah. it's averaging around a 7.5, a 7.3,
right.
Depending.
So it's good.
Well,
by our rubric, it's good.
Well.
On aggregator sites rubrics that's mixed, I think, is what they call that.
All right.
There were an awful lot of very positive reviews out several days before ours.
No, how'd that happen?
I don't know.
Weird.
Strange.
EA says, Medal of Honor is part of a larger EA strategy to take share in the shooter category. This is a marathon, not a sprint. Today's Medal of Honor launch represents a step forward in that race, is what they said on Tuesday.
Is that the press release where they mentioned the Zoo 5 out of 5 star review?
What's Zoo?
Zoo is a lad mag in the UK.
A what? Oh, a lad mag?
Yeah.
What's a lad mag?
Those are the booby mags in the UK that you can buy before being 18.
We like those. So despite the reviews, EA says Medal of Honor sales are off to a great start.
Boom. In your face, Arthur.
Publisher declined to offer exact unit figures. wow. But says they are overwhelmingly positive.
I believe reading on a GAF thread about Medal of Honor that PS3 player base is around 10 or 12,000 right now.
Okay. You mean online?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's usually not big. This, what do you think about this quote? This is, again, someone at GameStop, Bob McKenzie, Senior VP of Merchandising at GameStop, says, this underscores, sales of Medal of Honor are positive. So he says, this underscores how video gaming has emerged as mainstream entertainment.
I'm not sure.
I don't know what that means.
What does that mean?
I don't know if that's a diss at, like, review sites like ours. Like, they're saying that we can't, like, even though we could give it a game a bad review, it's the masses are still going to buy it.
You know, I didn't think of it that way, but that actually could very well be what it means. I guess we'll just have to settle for it.
I will say that the Medal of Honor box art is pretty badass.
It is. It's very beardy.
Yeah.
I mean, if we can't affect sales, I guess we can just content ourselves with affecting EA's stock price.
Is well, you figure it's the same thing, right? They're like, you know, when somebody puts an embargo on there, usually they... I mean, I shouldn't generalize that much. Embargoes are useful when you don't know how the product's going to be received, right? Like, if you have an awesome game, you set the embargo way early.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, maybe they were worried about Medal of Honor, they put it there. That way the kids who have a pre-order aren't talked out of it in time.
Right. I will say that this is the first EA game this year, I think, that IGN has not had a review up before release date.
NBA Jam, they did not let me go until the game came out.
Okay.
And that game is really good. So I'm not sure exactly why they set some
There's
sort of embargo.
Not necessarily
on
a correlation there. Activision pretty much always makes us wait till release date to put stuff up. But Dante's Inferno, we did several days before. Bad Company 2 was several days before.
It's usually when companies are heavily focused on their, you know, their public image and stock prices that they don't want reviews to go out. I mean, like I said, Activision is huge on, you know, their whether or not their stock's going to go up or down. Same thing with EA. So I'm sure that has something to do with it. They just don't want.
And I think I read that over the last couple of months, EA's stock price has been up 15% based on bullish projections for Medal of Honor, like how well it would do. So in the event that people are getting cold feet about how Medal of Honor is going to perform, I could see some of that scaling back.
Well, they correct me if I'm wrong. They recouped all the stock points when Dead Space Ignition came out, right?
That was where I was going to go next.
Yeah. Banner week for EA.
I don't think a whole lot of people are waiting for Ignition, though.
Dead Space Ignition.
I think R. Kelly wrote a song about it. He called it the remix to Ignition because he was waiting for it to come out.
It's out this week on PSN and Xbox Live Arcade. This is a prequel to Dead Space 2. You get it free if you pre-order Dead Space 2, or it's $5.
Yeah, and unlocks content for Dead Space 2.
And the game is a 4.5.
Yeah, it's not good.
According to
I would not suggest playing it unless you really want that suit.
Yeah. Is it worth free?
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's the thing, right? A lot of kids are on there, it's a free game. It's like, yeah, it's a free game, so I'm still telling you. I mean, Dead Space 2, I think we can all agree, is probably going to be freaking awesome. It looks amazing.
It was amazing at E3.
Yeah, like, you have... single player. We are all in love with... Multiplayer seems to be dividing rod. I wasn't into it. I know a lot of kids I read
on
Twitter. Come on, man,
it's dudes versus things.
So if you really want the suit, it'd be there. And if you're going to pre-order it anyway, yeah, why wouldn't you? I mean, there's trophies and achievements attached to it, so you got that, too. It's something to kill time and hang out, and it's more content to play through. The story's interesting enough. The art is terrible.
The art is awful.
Horrible.
Yeah. Very,
horrible.
Don't look at me like I drew it.
No, you're an artist, Arthur. You should be more offended than me. I'm just some schlub who has no talent except crapping on other people's work.
I'm much too busy photoshopping pictures of Activision helicopters dropping money on IGN headquarters.
Yeah, all the cutscenes are just like concept art animated with flash.
I mean, like, the main character is this dude named Franco, and he looks different in every scene. And it's not like by choice. It's just if he wasn't the black guy, you wouldn't know who he was. It's like there's a guy on the screen, like, oh, that must be Franco. Okay.
It peaks right at the very beginning with its "That's what she said" joke,
downhill
from there.
See, that was so hard. That's what she said.
And then you play hacking mini games.
Yeah, three different versions.
None of them are
all
that great.
Boring as
one of which is a complete ripoff of an art style game that came out on WiiWare.
Like Trex.
Yeah, like Trex. Yeah. Complete ripoff.
It looks like Tron. You're just racing. You can't use the D-pad either for it. You can only go up and down, but you have to use the analog stick. So pushing forward and back doesn't do anything. It seemed like a dumb control mechanic for me. If you're going to be that stiff with it, I want to have stiff buttons.
So it's like an Etch-a-Sketch.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah,
perfect.
It is like that.
Yeah, like, the games are boring. The voice acting was good. Like, and the story's interesting. Like, it's got
Is it scary at all? I mean, Dead Space is like a horror game.
No, I mean, what's to be scary about it? You are... It's not like the Necromorph ever pops up and he's got a freaking hacking panel on his face. No, it's like you freaking turn lasers to hit other lasers, and then, like, oh, here comes a cutscene for a while. And then I get to choose if I want to go to the hospital or the hostage situation, and then I'm hacking another door. Ugh.
Do people die in it?
Oh, yeah, people get killed. Huh? Yeah.
Anyway. Listen
it's
up, listeners.
Life Space, Damon.
Oh, wait, what's that? Life Space. That'd be a different game. Listen up, listeners. YFGWG. Another big game, big review out this week is Kirby's Epic Yarn.
Yes.
Kirby.
It comes out on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I'll be playing through it again for the Extra Life.
On the Ustream. You can watch direct feed of it.
Direct feed on Ustream, as well as, you know, after that happens, I'll have my own Ustream so I can keep playing.
No, just watch the
I may, in point of fact, not play anything and just watch the Ustream.
But yes, the review just went up. We recorded this in the morning, and I had just published it before I came down here.
And you gave it a
9.0.
That means it's good.
It is.
Better than
it's
Metroid.
All right. Yeah. Oh, yes. I mean, I...
Wait. You gave Metroid an 8.5.
Yes, 8.5.
So it's not, like,
no.
Scoffingly...
Okay, you're
that
right.
Piece of crap. No. No, kidding me? An 8.5?
Yes, Metroid Other M is definitely a good game, at least in my opinion. I know it's kind of skewed everywhere.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, that's a good game. But this is awesome. And it's all about traditional platforming, but like that traditional platforming mechanics being enhanced by like a really awesome art style that's just never been seen before. And I think that's, you know, that the whole quilting, you fold the quilts to kind of bring down the platform so you can jump on it. It's awesome. It's really, really good. It's really easy.
Yeah. Originally, it wasn't supposed to be a Kirby game. It came out this
week. Yeah, that's one of the things that people have been harping on. Apparently, Goodfeel, the team that worked on this game, they worked on Wario Land Shake It before, which is also a really good game.
Also a good game.
They said that they created this concept with an original character, and they said that it just didn't come together. Nintendo, during the development, said, hey, why don't you try to put Kirby in there and add their mechanics and stuff like that? And they said that that's when it came together. So we were like, oh, it wasn't originally a Kirby game. That means he's kind of tacked in there.
I could solve every problem that way. Just stick Kirby in it.
Yeah, but that's the thing.
Think it would have made Medal of Honor better?
Can you imagine how awesome that game would have been?
If Kirby was a tier 1 operator, I would buy that game again.
So that's sucking in tanks.
But that's the thing. So one of my favorite Kirby games of all time is Kirby's Dream Course on the Super Nintendo. It's just like the miniature golf game that has Kirby mechanics. That game originally didn't start out as a Kirby game either. It was going to be originally a game called Special Tee Shot, or just kind of a generic
Kirby's
game.
Kirby's Dream Course is a better name than that.
Yeah, and so they added Kirby, and it totally opened up. And like, you know, you would never know that it wasn't originally a Kirby game if you looked at it. And it's the same thing with Kirby's Epic Yarn.
Also, a fun fact: Final Fantasy VII wasn't originally a Kirby game. It's true.
Awesome.
Gran Turismo 5 has been delayed again, Greg.
God! Oh, I didn't know, Damon. Who that?
You've heard the rumor now about why it's been delayed.
I've heard a lot of rumors about what. Which one are you
referring
to? The
rumor that
GameScoop does not comment on rumors and speculation.
Official Blu-ray forums, a verified Sony insider is saying that it was delayed because Sony has now mandated that all new PS3 games release with firmware 3.5.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it disables the...
hacking stuff. I heard that too, yeah.
What's the hack?
Hacking in general.
Oh, somebody
finally jailbreaked the PS3.
Like how to do it? Keep do you have a few minutes we could talk about it on the show?
Okay, sure.
Here's a step-by-step process.
Medal of Honor did the same thing. It really? Required a mandatory firmware update.
Nice.
So wait, why would that delay a game, though? I mean,
because they had to delay pressing discs, and Blu-ray production is extremely impacted at this time of year.
That's true.
That's
what I heard.
That makes sense.
So that happened, and then now they've missed that like 3-day window of what was supposed to be their press time. So
and
now they're back behind a bunch of other stuff.
Like 7 or 8 million discs.
Yeah.
Because it's
and they have to go in full with the code, obviously, too. I mean, to switch it over to firmwares and whatnot. Because don't they want to include that? You have to include it on the disc.
Right.
Yeah.
That
exactly.
way, if you're
not connected,
system,
yeah.
That's not, you know, it's a giant pain.
This game has been coming for years and years. Like at my first E3 at IGN, that 2006, before the PS3 was even out, they were showing that boring as hell footage of Gran Turismo 5.
Crabs and cars.
Yeah.
Ridge! It's Ridge
Remember how like
Racer.
Slow the cars were just going around the tracks and it was like, meh, meh, yeah. Gran Turismo 5!
I mean, there were other rumors that there have been videos popping up online of like cars physics going crazy and like stuff happening, but... that seems to be the main reason.
If you'd like to see if the rumors are true of car physics going crazy, you can turn into the IGN Extra Life stream where we're playing it Saturday morning.
Oh, are we?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
So this guy's going to be playing that one?
Yep. He'll probably be scoffing the whole time. Nice firmwares.
Have you ever gotten lost in a Gran Turismo game before, Greg?
No.
You?
I've had several months of my life devoured by Gran Turismo 3, like, many years ago.
See, I'm not into the whole realistic driving
exactly.
thing.
Like, I'm a burnout guy.
Yeah, I want to crash cars.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I mean, in Gran Turismo 3, you could literally bounce your car off the side of the walls to take turns.
So you're the one that exploits really bad physics.
Until Laguna Seca, in which case, that was the bane of my existence. If anyone plays Gran Turismo in the audience, they know what I'm talking about.
Greg, you think Gran Turismo 5 will still make it this year?
I do. I think they can't afford not to have it out.
I know, because they delayed Little Big Planet 2.
Yep.
And if Gran Turismo 5 fell to next year, they don't have any first-party offering for
it's the
this
move.
Holiday.
They'd be the move, right? They're trying to carry over September's move launch yeah. into speaking, the speaking, holiday success.
Speaking of the move, we have MPD numbers now for September.
Uh-huh. We can't talk about that, right?
We can't talk about
no, we did. We got a confirmed PS3 sales numbers this morning.
Oh, okay.
There are no move games are charting well.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, from what we can tell, no move game has sold well. I don't think we have numbers for exactly how much hardware has been sold in the U.S., do we?
I think Pactor had alluded to it at some point, but I haven't seen numbers.
And I know that Sports Champions is included with Move.
The bundle.
There's a couple ways to get Sports Champions. You can buy it as a standalone. You can buy it with PlayStation Eye and the controller, or you could buy a PS3, PlayStation Eye, controller bundle, and Sports Champions altogether.
But the Sports Champions standalone disc, like, we have the numbers for it. They're not good.
But the question is, like,
can we say what the best-selling Move title was? Because we know that,
the best-selling Move title was iPad.
Yes.
Move, yeah. But even that sold, I'm going to tell you, listeners, that sold less than 30,000 copies.
Wow. So
that's here's the thing. That's the best
selling
movie.
And that's a full
game.
Month of sales. Or when did it come out? Halfway through?
Mid-September.
14, okay. I think.
17th?
It was a teen.
A few days of October 19th. In this, too.
Well, the thing, the Sports Champion number is not a sprint.
Just like EA's first-person shooter strategy.
Don't get me wrong. I don't appreciate Move. There's nothing good to, you should not buy it. There's nothing good to play with it right now. But I still think the Sports Champions one is a misleading one, because why would you walk into the store and buy PlayStation Move and not buy it in the bundle? Unless
sold.
You already had the Eye, but that's the 20,000 that probably bought it normally or whatever. The 30,000. What was the number? Oh, no, you're talking about something else.
You can't say the number for Sports
Champions. All right. I'm just saying. The whatever below
number.
Let's not
have MPD busting down the door, sir.
I'm generalizing.
Have you ever seen David Riley? He's a beefcake.
Wow.
Right.
Beefcake!
I just don't see any, like, I don't see any buzz out there for Move.
No,
like, I don't see ads for it. I don't hear people like
Kevin
my
Butler has ads.
Yeah.
But I'm really sick of them, and it's not a good campaign.
They're on TV?
Yeah.
Well,
he moved in with the Maguires.
It doesn't show anything that the Move's doing that the we can't do.
They hang out in that same house.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like they're just if you basically took the footage of them swinging the arm, you wouldn't know that they're playing Move or Wii.
I feel like they're emulating the Wii an awful lot for a system that fell to third place in the home console race this month.
Yeah.
Because the
PS3 timing
actually,
is everything.
It's the whole argument against the Move and the Kinect. Kinect's not out, so I can't prove it. So I'll just focus on my whole argument I've always had against the Move is that it's just late to the party.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And
like, Nintendo won this one.
Nintendo's even abandoning, like, I mean, if you look at the games that are coming out now, they're traditional controlling games.
Kirby and Donkey Kong.
Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, Wii hit and they started development on this. And then by the time they're ready to launch it, it's done. That movement is not what it's going to be. My mom is not going to run out and buy this, you know? No.
And Microsoft is saying that Kinect pre-orders are selling out. I mean, who knows? That's just the line from
Sony
Microsoft.
Sony was saying when the Move was out, yeah.
Did they really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's so hard to get in stores.
Last month, Sony was saying Move is not going to sell well right out the gate. It's going to be a slow burn. They were doing damage control on Move before it came out.
All the retweets I was seeing and all that jazz and stuff.
Business Week and stuff, they were doing damage control before Move even came out.
Yeah.
Which was surprising, because usually Sony is really bullish on everything.
Hopefully they knew that. You know,
even if
this
they have to
the future. Stop doing it.
Even if they have to say things like ship numbers instead of sold numbers, they're usually cheerleaders.
Yep.
Well, we have the top 10 best-selling games of September. None of these are Move titles. Halo Reach, obviously number one.
3.3 million
and sold really well. You know, Madden is on there, of course. I was really surprised to see number 10 at the very bottom. Modern Warfare 2. Still one of the top.
Yeah, it's got legs.
Still one of the top 10 best-selling games. People, I thought everybody in the world had a copy of that game.
I think like one out of every four Xbox 360s sold is selling with a copy of Modern Warfare 2.
Probably.
But you didn't mention how disastrous Metroid Other M is selling.
Well, it's I mean, it's in the It's not. It's in the top 10. It's number 9.
Yeah.
You know.
But it's still, like, I mean, you know.
You think that's disastrous for a Metroid game?
For a first-party Nintendo game? Absolutely.
But Metroid has never been... Metroid's like a core game, and it's never had. It's never like one of their mainstream franchises.
We can say that other M sold significantly less than Metroid Prime 3 did in its first month.
Okay, I don't remember what Prime's numbers were.
It was like 220,000.
And there was a good campaign going on, at least in the U.S.
I mean, had a good commercial.
It's definitely they're definitely pushing it.
You don't like it?
No, stupid Lovely Bones girl.
Lovely Bones.
I could see what was happening. Is that who that is? I couldn't stop it.
Well, look, they only had the game to work from.
Sounds like a good as it could have been. So it's a faraway vampire.
More surprising is that
I didn't want to kill them, but I had.
Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep.
Yeah. PSP game. PSP game in the top 10.
Outsold Metroid.
Yeah, the first party Wii game. That's where I'm like, that's how disastrous it is. Even though the game came out in August 30th, so you have one day of sales that aren't on there. But I mean, if you look at the numbers, from
that was
last
one
month,
day of sales that wasn't on MBD last month either.
Yeah,
it's surprising to see a PSP game obviously chart as high as it did, because we can't give specific numbers, but they've said enough to imply that it sold pretty well. And I mean, it
that many people
margin.
And they have an active PSP, you know?
The interesting thing about the Peace Walker thing, right, is that this
6-year nosedive.
The interesting thing is, like, you know, Square did not put this one up for digital download. You could not buy this off the PSN. So I wonder how much that, you know, we all thought that was a stupid move, because, you know, people like me who love the Go or have a Go and want to use that primarily are left out in the cold. But now you look at the numbers, actually, you know.
Unless, of course, you'd jailbreak it and pirate that shit.
And here's how you do that.
Ice Pirates.
You start it.
Did you mark down the bleep there?
I said poop.
Oh, it's okay. We're not being too strict about that anymore.
All right, we can just say it then. All right. Mittens.
The most amazing news of this week is, I think, Pirates of the Caribbean Armada of the Damned was canceled.
That is surprising.
My pre-order!
This actually looked really cool.
This is the Pirates action RPG that Disney was working on. You could choose to be an evil or a heroic pirate, and we'd seen it a couple of times, and everyone who saw it was, like, really impressed with it.
It looked like a really cool action RPG with pirates, which is not something we see very much of, actually.
Really cool art style that kind of looked like Fable, and, you know, it was like, I don't know, it's like fun, like action RPG. You go on quests and you...
Now it's all down to Captain Blood.
Exactly. I know. That was amazing. That game was in... It seemed to be coming along nicely. Clements flew up to Vancouver to the studio earlier this year to Propaganda. And
that's very weird, too, because they got a movie coming out in the next year and a half.
Did they? So,
yeah, Pirates 4.
Yeah, Pirates 4 is supposed to come out. And so, like, that would make a nice little, you know, timing would be great for that.
And what's also strange is that Tron is not looking that hot.
Tron's
the game
right,
is like, so
well,
it's like,
you don't want to do some jumping around platforming third person
stuff. It's a very like, I played it at the event, and it's a very stiff moving Assassin's Creed, and it's I mean, I'm
I love
huge,
me some Assassin's Creed,
and I love me some Tron, and I'm a big Tron fan, but I was kind of just going, you know what, this needs to be have a little bit more flair than what's going on. So, you know, I mean, I'm looking forward to playing it, but I don't think it's going to be anything spectacular.
Yeah, there's something weird going on behind the scenes at Disney and their restructuring and stuff. It's just so weird for them to, out of the blue, cancel this game that was looking promising.
It's just strange, because they seem to be doing, like, going pretty strong. Like, they've been putting out some pretty solid
better stuff.
Product.
They did Split Second,
right?
And they did Toy Story 3.
Right, which was, like, amazing.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't know. Now they had this other cool-looking game, but they were like, no.
I mean, maybe it is that it wouldn't make it out in time for the movie, and they figured that marketing it after that would be pointless.
It's also not... I mean, it's not tied to the movie, but that's...
Yeah,
it's a huge remember Batman Arkham Asylum. Yeah. That was not tied to The Dark Knight, and it was fantastic. So. All right. What's the matter?
I'm just wondering if you have something else to read to the listeners.
I do. Listeners, listen up. HMXJ4. Let's check in with the listeners. This is Matthew. He says, I'm years late to the music game scene, but I'm going to be throwing my first rock band party next week. I know you guys are seasoned veterans at this, and I would appreciate any tips you could give to make it a great time. For example, are there rules of etiquette that govern playtime, song choice, or instrument choice?
You're overthinking this, man.
let the hot girl choose.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Whatever the girls want to sing is what you want to play.
Exactly.
Much, yeah. Greg, how do you think this guy's name is pronounced?
Oh, that's easy one. This is Fasel Olwat.
It has kind of a sing-songy
sound. Hello, Vasilo. What?
He wants to know about applying for jobs here at IGN. He said, I thought I'd write in and ask if IGN really requires you to have a Facebook, Twitter, or a blog to apply to the editorial staff. I read Hillary's article and couldn't quite tell if he was serious, kidding, or a little of both. Really appreciate an answer. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that, I mean, that sort of thing is important in today's media.
What did he show?
I didn't understand.
Oh, on Hillary's, when he was, Hillary put up a job posting.
Tell me more. I don't read IGN.
This week.
Just saying, I didn't see it on Gaff. I'm sorry.
Right,
I
have no idea. Exactly.
One of the many qualities.
It wasn't on Kotaku. I don't know about it.
One of the many qualities we're looking for is, you know, comfort using social networks.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
That sort of thing. Because we use that stuff all the time to, you know, promote IGN, to reach out to the community. So that's just
to get people to see you play. At where were you yesterday?
Rocket Room. So all that stuff is really important to use today. So
I mean, the advice I give anybody who asks me how to get into the industry, right, is to write as much as you can. And obviously these things, you know, Twitter's only so many characters, but I mean, there's a science to getting good at that and being able to be interesting and being able to be blogged and
developing people skills is a good idea too.
Yeah. When are you going to do that, Arthur?
Wow, I'm not the whipping boy.
It's not that I don't have people skills. It's just that I don't like you.
You love me. You know it.
It's true.
This is Chris from Oak Park, Illinois.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I know where that is. He probably goes to Portillo's once in a while.
He says, I'm an avid PC gamer. Recently, I've started to notice something. This involved the purchase of Dead Rising 2 for PC. I realized that almost all of my recent game purchases were over the internet, via Steam or Direct to Drive, and I no longer had a hard copy PC game. So I decided to purchase Dead Rising 2 on DVD just for the heck of it. When I went to my local GameStop, I noticed something. The PC section was one small-ass shelf with random titles spanning the last 10 years. I went to one of the employees to ask if they had the game on PC, and he gave me a look like I just asked him the world's dumbest question. So this is what I realized, since retail stores seem to care less about PC games. Do you think PC gaming will be the first to go all digital download?
Absolutely.
And if so, do you think it would be a good or bad thing?
It's been that way for at least a year, two.
Retail PC and digital download are even now, according to NPD.
I just noticed PC games retail presence is really getting small, even at like Best Buy, like their PC game section.
You got Steam,
like,
you got Direct to Drive, you got lots of ways of getting one of those games. And like, if you've got a PC, that's connected.
Direct
Plus,
Drive?
To me,
what's Direct to Drive?
You shut your mouth.
Be a company man.
Trying to help this company, and you just go, "What's that?"
Hey, you know what I just redeemed upstairs? A Steam code.
I know. What do you want me to do about it?
Hold me.
To me, I'd rather download all my games. I don't need more stuff.
It does take a lot longer. I mean, like, you know, the games are getting huge. You know, 10 gigabytes and they take up a lot of space. But then if you have the DVD, or even a Blu-ray, it's going to install on your hard drive. It's going to take up as much space as if you downloaded it anyway. So it's like there's no reason to have the disc.
Yeah. I think that it's going to be a while before we go digital only, just because we're in a weird point with broadband in this country. Certain companies are experimenting with bandwidth caps, which people in Europe and Australia can certainly attest to, and how difficult that makes digital downloads. Mm-hmm. Digital downloads is such...
Call them DDs.
DDs.
The double D.
What kind of downloads? Are there analog downloads?
Exactly. Yeah. This is what I'm saying. It sounds idiotic. I'm an idiot is what I'm saying.
It's redundant.
So all you people commenting on my Medal of Honor review were right.
You were right.
I'm an idiot. It's an easy way to eat up your bandwidth cap.
Yeah, that's true. This is Nathan. He says, I'm wondering why I haven't heard you guys discuss the Xbox integration with Windows Phone 7. What are your thoughts? Do you plan on covering the games for it once it releases this fall? For my part, I have not paid any attention to Windows Phone 7.
Yeah, we all have iPhones.
Yeah.
And that rocks.
Yeah, I saw the ad campaign, or the way they're directing the, you know, the new interface and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, basically get you in and out so you're not on your phone all the time. And it's like, I don't think that any operating system is going to help you in not looking at your phone. But I don't know. That's pretty cool. But then again, like, running Windows on a phone sounds so...
It's
archaic.
Not, except it's not actually Windows. It's
so
actually...
So they should name it something else.
They call it Windows Phone 7. They need that recognition, but they also want it to look cool. Have you seen it?
I saw it, yeah. It's not really Windows.
It's very slick. But it's more like Zune. Like, it's the Zune phone, but no one bought Zune, so they have to call it something else.
But the people who did seemed to really like Zune.
Yes.
Hillary loves Zune.
Like a long time ago, I had a phone that was running Windows Mobile.
I'm very
And it was
sorry.
Just so bloated and awful. But I'm sure that they fixed that. I'm sure they fixed it.
Well, yeah, because they're basically approaching it like Apple did.
Yeah.
Which helps. Yeah. Levi, who covers our handheld phone stuff.
And who definitely needs more to do.
Right, exactly.
All he does is play Angry Birds. He's like, today's bird of the day is the blue one.
The smartest thing they could have done with Windows Phone.
100 Angry Birds.
They did, which is they're offering a Mac client for it. Mm. So people with Apple computers can use them, which means they can also use Zune soon. Mm. So
there you go. This is Joey Hurtado.
Good name.
Sounds like food.
He has a few questions. He says, I wanted to ask, who is the funniest?
Just that's it?
In the world?
Well, it has to be Greg, right?
Yeah.
No.
He's talking about among everyone IGN.
Oh. I will give the crown to Greg.
Who is the smartest?
Eric Brodvig.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
Brodvig is good, yeah.
Eric or Per Schneider, I'd say.
Yeah. Per, absolutely.
Eric is a rocket scientist.
Yeah. He's not a rocket scientist.
He knows five languages. You know, he's crazy.
Yeah. Nate. Don't forget Nate.
You didn't ask who spent the most time kissing their pecs and biceps.
Oh, him and that shake weight. Nate knows I love him, by the way. He is a very smart man, but obviously not Per Schneider smart.
Yeah.
Me and him are the dumb kids. We got it.
Who is the weirdest?
I would say Greg Miller.
Jim Riley.
Of course.
Greg
Miller?
Greg Miller's pretty weird.
No, he's not. Yeah. Jim Riley.
I am weird in the most mundane senses. Sure.
I think he's intentionally weird, whereas Jim Riley is just weirdness.
Dude. F you.
What?
I'm intentionally weird?
Yeah.
You know what'll be wacky today? I'm going to use this as a phone.
Greg is holding his shoe.
Sorry. Good radio.
It would be weird if I wore a shirt with a Taliban on the back.
What does Greg do that's weird?
Just in general.
Well,
stuff.
No, what? You cannot give a specific example.
No.
Then he's not weird.
He does have a bizarre Superman fixation.
Give me a week. I'll have a script of things. Okay.
Next week, you'll have some examples of how Greg is weird. And finally, who is the shyest? Is there anybody that's
Ryan Scott is super super quiet and hard to
Charles
get to talk.
On yet.
Charles is very shy.
Charles
he won't say
yet.
Penis still.
Yeah,
he won't say what?
Yeah,
Charles will not say penis.
We've tried many times in the show to get him to say it.
Oh, I've on shown, the show.
Okay. I'm always like, Charles, what's
this? Well, he won't say it outside the show either.
I mean, outside the show, he's just penis all the time. Penis on yet, they call him.
They do call him that. That's true. This is Ben from Utah. He says, I'm a new listener. Love what you guys do. The only problem I have is this one inside joke, the Floradora.
Really?
Ben is asking for help.
Fine, Ben, go.
Jeez. Right.
I have no idea what you're
saying. Not everyone listens to every single podcast.
It's an easy... There's a thing called Google now. But anyways, continue to go.
If you could please tell me what episode you started, or just give me a brief retelling of... that would be greatly appreciated.
Brief.
Though, Damon, beware. If you ask Greg to tell it, he will inevitably take his dear sweet time, I'm sure.
It's true. Someone else should go, because I do get long-winded.
No, I'm not going to explain it, because I've told it many times.
I'll try to be as fast as possible. Yes. One time on GameScoop, we were talking about the Sega Saturn, and I said that it had a RAM cartridge you put in the back to make it run better.
I remember this.
Craig said it did not. There was dispute over what Craig was thinking
of. It was
released
in the U.S.
Sure.
That's what it was.
Okay. And so I'm like, it did come out. You said it didn't. I said, I remember owning it. You said it didn't. Then we went on for like 2 more minutes about other stuff. And then somehow it came back to that. And Craig mentioned that he had one. And I'm like, well, it was sold in the U.S. And Craig started trying to justify his point. But I started celebrating that I had won. And I was screaming at him. And I was on one of my rants. And I got so into the joke that I couldn't put the words together anymore. So I tried to say, I got to a point in the story I was telling
Phyllis
where
Diller.
Craig was an old man in a wheelchair. And I knocked him out like Phyllis Diller is what I wanted to say. But it came out, Floradora! And I didn't even say Floradora if you listen to the original thing, but then Geddes started saying Floradora and it rolled from there.
Yeah.
Then eventually we found out that Floradora was a cocktail. Well,
but first it caught on as just an exclamation to assert dominance.
And now it's in the Urban Dictionary.
Yeah. But then we found out it's a classic cocktail called the Floradora, which we made on the show and
Episode
discovered
100.
It was delicious.
Yeah.
And
About.com or the Ask.com recipe is now packed with GameScoop comments from people who have found it to make it themselves.
There's a great cocktail place in San Francisco called Rick House. They knew how to make a Floradora when I asked them about it. And we went in there. We've ordered it so many times. The Floradora is now on the menu at Rick House.
Nice.
It's fantastic. I take full credit.
It's also like a code word now. When
it's a
people
great
order
name
it,
for a bar.
We've had many people write in where they'll be at a frat party and they'll order it and somebody will say scoop. Like they get it.
Exactly. So there you go. Ben from Utah, make yourself a Floradora and see what
he lives in Utah, probably.
Hubbub's about. You don't think they have a...
Oh, they're dry.
It's dry. Yeah, sure.
This is Pete Thomas. Okay, gentlemen. I'm facing an upcoming gaming issue.
Uh-oh.
My wife is due to have our second child in about 2 weeks.
Leave her.
While this is a good thing, it does cause some issue when it comes to my gaming. My wife and I will both be home together with the baby and our three-year-old for 3 months. She's taking maternity leave. I am currently an unemployed high school teacher. After our last kid, she was a bit of an emotional wreck and disapproved to the majority of the games I tried to play. In short, I need some family-friendly, non-violent games that are enjoyable to play. Can you recommend any family-friendly, non-offensive, quieter-the-better games for PS3 or 360 to get me through the next few months?
Fallout 3.
Toy Story 3, that was a good game, and that you could play that, yeah. And that'd be entertaining for the 3-year-old watch. Buzz.
Limbo is quiet.
Buzz is not quiet.
But it's violent.
Yeah, it's very violent.
So I didn't think that one would count.
In Limbo, it's a child being murdered over again.
Yeah, I don't think his wife would approve of that. But Peggle is available on both PSN and
Plants
Xbox Live Arcade.
Zombies.
Plants vs. Zombies is on XBLA.
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs is an easy platinum. it's not a bad game.
Okay, not a bad game. Okay. Both Puzzle Quests are on Xbox Live. The first one's on PSN. Those are super fun games that'll last you a long time.
Former IGN, now Zipper employee, Chris Roper, when his daughter was born, he fell back in love with Puzzle Quest because you could play it with one hand. So he could hold the baby and he could play it with the game.
Nice.
That was a good pantomime of holding a baby and playing a game.
It was like, you were squeezing.
This is how you own a baby.
It's just a stress reliever.
The baby in this hand, game in the other.
You were squeezing with the baby hand.
You were playing a fucking guitar.
Damn. I love cursing. And I love Arthur.
All right.
You're a ray of sunshine, Arthur.
He's used to...
I am used to cursing. I'm used to explicit tag podcasts. Yeah. Oh, God. This is... Let's not go down that dirty rabbit hole.
Tell us a story.
No. This is Joseph Woodhull. I was sad I wasn't able to make the IGN meet and greet at 21st Amendment, but I did actually recently enjoy a microbrew from 21st Amendment at the Oregon Brewers Festival here in Portland. They had Hell or High Watermelon on tap.
Yeah, they do sell that, yeah.
And I really enjoyed it, but I couldn't help but think I was drinking a girly beer. Would you guys have laughed me out of the bar, or would I have been in good company with you fine gents?
It's a good beer.
Yeah. You'd be in good company.
We're all big fans of the Hell or High Watermelon.
Is this known to be a particularly masculine group?
The IGN editors in our leather jackets while we play Dance Revolution.
That actually sounds kind of at least leather daddy.
At least 21st Amendment sells it in a can. When you order it at the bar, when they have it on draft, they'll put a big old slice of watermelon in it.
That starts to look a little girly.
Exactly.
But it tastes so good.
It does. Yeah. I mean, dip your watermelon in the beer and you eat it, and it's good. No judgment here, Joseph Woodhull. Finally, we've come to our final email and the reveal of the image here. This is from Paul Canavan. Says he has created a painting here for us that was inspired by themes that we talk about on the podcast quite a bit. The one weird thing here is that this conflict that is happening in this photo is a debate that goes on between Geddes and I. But it appears to me and Greg, I think, maybe?
As you know, no one likes Geddes. Oh, yes, this is excellent. It's a shark versus an octopus.
Yeah. I feel like he got me really well.
Damon
on the
is
shark.
Riding the shark with his sunglasses on.
Yeah. So it's a shark versus octopus painting. I'm riding the shark. I've got, what do you call
that? Reins?
Yeah, I've got reins on the shark.
It's like a reindeer or
chomping
something.
At a bit.
Chomping at a bit, yes. Yeah. And then the other person riding the octopus could be Greg or Geddes.
Oh, it's Greg. Geddes is way too skinny. That's a Greg Miller. Right
that shark looks like Santa would strap it to a sleigh to pull it.
There's hair. That's true.
So Greg is taking over the octopus. Yeah.
So, are you the fan of the octopus? Are you on Team Octopus?
I'm not. I don't. I could. It's one of those things. This is why we don't play him on paper. This fight can go a million ways.
No, the shark's gonna win this fight. Look at that. Yeah. Come on.
In this one?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. This
I don't know.
In this one, the octopus
has. Try it, Anakin. I have the upper hand.
Higher ground. I have the higher ground. Yeah, in this one, the octopus doesn't look into it. He's got, like, the Portillo eye of, like, terror or something's coming at him.
This is very nicely done, Paul.
We'll put it on the wall.
Yeah, we're going to put it up.
I'll do it right
totally.
Next time, send a more expressive octopus.
Well, I think we know which side Paul roots for. That's all the scoops we have for you this week. Remember to tune into our Extra Life Marathon all day, Saturday, October 16th.
Did you finish all the codes?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Here are the five remaining characters of the Super Meat Boy code. CPV2Z.
And make sure you email us when you activate that code so we know that it's been taken.
Yeah, and let us know that you are the winner, and congratulations. Please do enjoy. Welcome back to 8-Bit Radio. Now is the time when we enjoy the lo-fi sounds of the Nintendo Entertainment System. Today we're listening to Platoon, the NES game based on Oliver Stone's 1986 film. Great movie, not a great game. The soundtrack, though, is really outstanding. We'll start with the title screen tune. A simple bass line repeats over and over, but what is impressive are the many melodies that keep appearing over the top. One after the other, the composer keeps coming up with variations, and they're all really catchy. This always gets stuck in my head, so I will start with the title screen track and then go into one of the level songs. Please do enjoy Platoon on NES. We'll be right back.
everywhere I live. IGN GameScoop. Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.